drink a bottle. Good.
Swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Goal.
Listening to The Unlucky Irishman on the Row Sports Talk Network, produced by Ashley Maciag and Boomer Dangle. Now, here's your host, James Preacher Rowe.
Everyone, I'm James Preacher Rowe, and you are listening to the Unlucky Irishman podcast. The little joke behind the reason why it's called that is because I am of Irish heritage, 100%. I'm not going to get into the full details of why I'm 100%, but that's all you need to know. But the other joke is that usually it's the luck of the Irish. Well, many people know me. Some facets in my life, I'm very unlucky. So it's kind of a joke play on it. And if you know, if you've got any other questions, you know, you can always message me. So obviously, this is my first podcast. There's going to be a lot of things that it's going to be a little clunky. It's just kind of a first run go at it. Interesting enough, my first show is going to be a lot. That's the problem with the sports world and all the news, is that there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of news, and there's going to be a lot to talk about. First of all, I want to thank everyone who's listening in to this podcast. You are what makes this podcast great, and I guess I am tongue-tied right now because I'm so thankful, you know. I also want to thank Boomer Dangle for, you know, producing some of this show, and also with that voiceover to introduce me. So if you listen to him, that's awesome. And then Ashley Maciag, who's given me ideas and who helped produce the show. She'll probably be on more often, but this is just a first test run, and I look forward to hopefully having her on. And then lastly, just thank everyone who works on this blog, because, I mean, they honestly make make this go. I mean, I've done a lot, but I mean, I don't think this website would be as good without their help. Now, anyways, let's dive deep into the very first thing, and of course, let's go with the NCAA tourney, or in this case, March Madness, however you want to call it. So the first thing that we want to talk about is, for the tourney, did they get it right? Did the selection committee get it right? One, I 100% believe they got it right. You can make the case that Notre Dame should have been in there, or even Oklahoma State. But honestly, I think the committee got it right. The only one that I can consider a snub is Notre Dame, because, you know, Notre Dame had a solid year, and I think they had a better year than some other squads in here. The question is, did they get the seeding right? You know what? Every year I talk about this, and last year was a different story. I thought the seeding they got wrong. This year, there's a lot of things where I think they should have had this team in this seed and this seed and that seed. And even John Calipari today, the University of Kentucky head men's basketball coach, said that Davidson is not a 12 seed, that they are actually a really good team. So if that's the case, Calipari, if you're listening, let me know what seeding they are. Because Davidson, if they are as good as you say, then the committee got it wrong in the seeding. Another thing is that I thought interesting is school like Oklahoma, should they have been in there? I don't know. I haven't, you know, they looked like they were going to be a really good team. And, you know, I guess things fell apart for them. But one of the reasons why I think they're in the tournament is because of their star freshman, Trae Young, who's a guard. Trae Young is a really good shooter. But my issue with him is he turns the ball over a lot. So I don't know if Oklahoma should be in or not. We'll see when the tournament starts. And then lastly, one, this has to go with where I'm actually living, is in Cincinnati. And one of the schools that's involved is Xavier. Xavier had a really, really good year this year. They're ranked third in the nation. I think that they were deserving of a number one seed. But the question was, they also fell to Providence in the Big East tournament. So everybody was like, oh, are they going to keep their number one seed possible? Yeah, you could make the case that they are not as good in a conference as, let's say, Duke or something like that, the ACC, or possibly in the Pac-12. I could compare it to last year when North Carolina got a one seed, and that was very controversial, even though I thought when they play their best, they are a one seed, or they were a one seed, but they lost in the ACC tournament in the semifinals, same exact spot that Xavier lost in the Big East tournament, but the difference was that North Carolina plays in a better conference. So you can make that argument that Xavier didn't deserve the one seed. Do I think when they play up to their absolute potential? Yeah, they are a number one seed. Do I think they deserve a one seed? I actually think they did. I actually think this team was good enough. You know, it was a loss, but wasn't a bad loss. They play in a tough conference, and, you know, those losses happen. I don't think they're going to be the number one team in the nation, but, you know, I agree with their seeding. Well, let's move on and let's go to football. Football, this is going to be an interesting one because there's a lot of things going on, especially with the fact that free agency is around and then the big news that just happened. First one I need to get into is Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas just recently announced his retirement. And, you know, he played for the Cleveland Browns for his whole career. And he finally got injured this year, and you kind of saw the writing on the wall that they were going to be, he was going to retire. But The thing was, it also came as a shock, too, because you would have thought, oh, well, you know what? He has played in 10,363 consecutive snaps. And before he got hurt, that was believed to be the longest in NFL history. Or it may possibly still, it might possibly be the longest. So he was the Iron Man of the NFL. He, you know, in age, he was up there. He was 30. He's in his 30s, so, you know, that's around the time of football players kind of decline. And so you could have said that there was the writing on the wall, but also as a surprise because he'd been playing for so long and also was never injured. He's a Hall of Famer in my book. I don't know if he's a first-rounder or first-time around, but maybe definitely second-time around. Moving on to the next topic, and actually this one came out just recently about Tyrann Mathieu. He is a defensive back, and he was released by the Arizona Cardinals. This guy played at Louisiana State in college football, and he got drafted in the 2013 draft. So he was an anchor of that draft that was just phenomenal in the 2011 run to the national championship where LSU lost to Alabama. But because he declined to take a pay cut, the Cardinals released him. And, you know, that's a big name. That is a huge, huge name to have on the market. He's going to be very coveted. I don't know where the landing spots are. I don't know his game enough well enough to know what schemes he fits in with what type of teams. He could fit in well in Oakland with Paul Gunther. He could fit in well with the Redskins, with Greg Minuski's defense. I don't know. Even the Cincinnati Bengals with Terrell Austin's defense. So, you know, there's a lot of good. He's a good player. He's going to be highly coveted. I just don't know where the perfect spot will be for him. And then the next thing that's really big is, you know, this quarterback free agent carousel that's been going on. Since on Wednesday, it was announced that it is a new league year and beginning at 4 p.m. And so that meant that teams were officially allowed to sign free agents and officially make trades that had already been announced, but they weren't officially announced beforehand. So, like, an example was when Alex Smith got traded to the Redskins. The deal was already made. They just didn't make it official until 4 p.m. Wednesday. But some of the big ones that happened, I mean, it was a quarterback carousel. A lot of players were moved around. AJ McCarron, who, if many remember, there was that botched trade that between the Browns and the Bengals earlier this year. He is now going to the Buffalo Bills for 2 years. If many remember, Bills had Tyrod Taylor, who was recently traded to the Browns, ironically, and now he's with the Bills. And the Bills made the playoffs, and they're hoping that maybe McCarron could lead this team to the promised land. After they've made a lot of good moves. I mean, they've picked up Jarvis Landry as a wide receiver. They just signed Chris Smith as defensive end. They just signed Carlos Hyde for running backs. I mean, that's a lot of good moves right there. I don't know if they're going to become a contender right away, but if they draft well and if they make some other free agent signings next year, this team could, you know, potentially make a run into the to the AFC North title. Other news is Sam Bradford is going to the Arizona Cardinals for 1 year and $20 million. Case Keenum is going to the Denver Broncos, and that one's an interesting one. Case Keenum had a good year with Minnesota when he was filling in for some injured quarterbacks in Teddy Bridgewater and, ironically, Sam Bradford. Now that he's getting signed after just one good year, that's a gamble that John Elway and the Broncos are going to have to take. I don't know if I agree with it because, you know, he hasn't had much success until just recently. But, you know, if that's what the Broncos want, good for them. Good for Case Keenum. And if he's their answer at quarterback, since, you know, they haven't had a really good quarterback situation since Peyton Manning retired, and even when he was playing for them in that 2015 season, you could tell he was the shell of his former self. Teddy Bridgewater is going to the New York Jets, even though they had just re-signed their starter from last year, Josh McCown. So that's either going to be a QB battle or it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater's job. That's just either way. That's the way I see it. And good for Teddy Bridgewater. Because considering after he's coming off that injury, he's a really good player. And it was sad to see him leave Minnesota. Which there was a lot of good things going on with the Vikings. And but, you know, Bridgewater is going to the Jets, and he's hopefully that will help make the Jets a lot better. And then lastly, the biggest one is Kirk Cousins going to the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I grew up in the DC area. I know what Kirk Cousins is all about. Cousins is the real deal. And this, some people say, oh, this and that. Like, oh, he's never won a playoff game. Well, you know, when he became a full-time starter, he's only played in one playoff game. And he actually performed well in that. It's like, oh, he's never been clutch. Well, he actually has, if you look at all the footage of him. And the only time he wasn't clutch was an unfortunate one, was when he, when the Redskins had a chance of making the playoffs in 2016, he choked. And that was the only time he's ever choked that I've seen. And they'll say, oh, the numbers don't back it up. Well, he will argue this past season was his best year because he lost top receivers like DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. And considering the injuries to the offensive line this year for the Redskins, God, Cousins, he still performed well. And, he, you know, he's throwing over 4,000 yards. You know what? I'll take that production any day. So for that deal that he signed, it was 3 years, and it was $84 million fully. Now, that's the key word, fully guaranteed. That's the problem there I have. Cousins, I think, was well worth going after. That's just my personal opinion. But $84 million, that's just too much money. Just too much money. Now, if he performs well and gets the Vikings to two Super Bowls, that's money well spent. But I still think that's too much money. Maybe, I don't know. He hasn't proved himself to be a Peyton Manning-like quarterback. I think he needed more time to prove how good he could have been. If he had played two more years with the Redskins and still put up those numbers, I would have said, okay, he's worth the money. But there was a reason why the Redskins didn't sign him. I didn't agree with it. But there was a reason why, and I think they just didn't get enough. I felt like he did show enough, but, you know, I will admit, 3 years to get that, only in 3 years of showing how much he's done and he gets that much money, I don't agree with that. But, you know, with now the free agency underway, I'll definitely talk more about that in the coming weeks, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of interesting things that happen. This time next week, I'll be talking about that, along probably with some of the tournament news, or the March Madness news. And then finally, my last part of the thing to talk about, and is minor league baseball. Just recently came out that they're going to have new rules. And this one struck me as interesting. Now, when it goes to the extra innings, There will, to start the inning, a runner for the team that's at bat will have a runner start at second base. I don't agree with that to a degree. I think it's okay if they had started a runner at first base. That's what I believe. But second base, that's just too close. I mean, you know, a team can get a sacrifice bunt, a sac fly, game's over. Just like that. But that's the thing. There's wins and losses don't matter in minor league baseball. Yeah, they matter to the clubs themselves because they want to make money, and also the fans, and you know, I guess some of the people who work for the teams. Because, I mean, I've worked in minor league baseball. It was nice to work for a team that won games. And, you know, my first year working in sports, my team won the championship. And that was, it's one of the greatest moments of my my professional career so far. I won't say it's the greatest, but it's one of them. But it's wins or losses don't matter. They just don't matter in minor league baseball. It's all about the development. You gotta develop these players. So, in my opinion, if they really want to further their development for extra inning games like these, start them at first base. Make them learn the fundamentals a little bit more to get their runners in. Sacrifice bunts are fine. You know, anything that you can to get the runner in. I just cannot agree with it starting at second base. I just think that's too easy. And I don't think players will learn from all too much of that. And then the other one that's interesting is the pitching clock. Now, I've been a big proponent of the pitching clock, but this one seems a little ridiculous. It's now that as soon as the pitcher gets into his windup in motion, he has 50 seconds to deliver the ball. You know, I'm fine with as soon as the ball is back in the glove of the pitcher, getting into his windup and then throwing it, it should be a 25-second span, in my opinion. This one is 15 seconds. This is what the new rule is. It's a 15-second pitch timer. I don't agree with that. I think it should be 25 seconds, maybe 30, but 30 may be a little too much. I understand that baseball is trying to speed up the game, but the thing is, you know, the sport goes as long as just as much as a hockey game, goes as long as much as a football game. Sure, they can go longer, and it does a lot, but, you know, 15 seconds, I mean, unless the pitchers really learn how to pitch that fast, because pitchers need to get them rhythms. You're taking out some of the fundamentals of pitching. I just don't agree with it. I'm happy to, you know, talk about it more with other people. See what their opinions are and, you know, maybe come up with a better idea of what to, this better proposal. 15 seconds is just not enough time. Just not enough time. So I've got my qualms with these rules. But and the thing is, the backlash between the whole runner on second base thing, I think people are making too much out of it. People are like, oh, I hate it. I hate it. I've seen it on social media today. I don't hate it. I just don't think it's perfect. It's all about development. It's not about the game in the minor leagues. Well, it technically is about the game, but if it was, if they were changing it in the major leagues, then yes, I agree. It's not good for the game. It's stupefying the game. But this is just for development. And if this helps speed the development and extra innings for a player in the minor leagues, good. Good, good, good. So I just think some people are overreacting to this. I do agree that maybe it shouldn't be at second base, but, you know, I think people need to get over it. I mean, that's just, I think they're being silly. Anyways, I'm going to cap it off with two stats of the day. I'm usually just going to come in and say, oh, here's the stat of the day as I sign off. In the most recent Champions League in soccer, Lionel Messi of FC Barcelona scored his 100th career Champions League goal. He is now joining Cristiano Ronaldo as the only two players to reach that milestone. So if you're old enough to remember these two players to start their careers, you are literally watching greatness, and that's just incredible. And then lastly, and I need to find this last one, it's about the NCAA tournament, and where is it? It's about, here it is. Since 1985, 51 teams unranked in the preseason entered the tournament in the top 10 and with a top 3 seed, not including UVA or Virginia this year. One of those 51 teams reached the Final Four. That team was the 2011 UConn Huskies. So hopefully I'll add more segments into my talk show, since this is relatively raw. The stat of the day will always happen, no matter what. But hopefully I can hear some feedback from you guys, and I look forward to do another podcast. For that, now, signing off, I'm James Preacher Rowe. Thanks for listening.